From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Edson. Recently, Sonia Deza took a trip to the bank. She's driving through the streets of Antioch, California, a sprawling commuter city about an hour northeast of San Francisco.
Turn right onto Pruitt Ranch Drive.
Chain restaurants like Chili's and Panda Express fill peach and beige strip malls. Sonia's heading to one now.
We go there in Bank of America in Brentwood.
The sight of the bank brings back some bad memories.
I feel sad at that time.
Sonia is 66 years old, originally from the Philippines. She has a serious face that instantly softens when she smiles.
That's it.
Arrived.
Last time she was at this bank, Sonia was with her boss. And as she gets out of the car now, she scans the parking lot, worrying that he might be around. So she puts on her sunglasses as kind of a disguise.
I'm hiding, you never know.
She says her boss brought her to this bank to cash a check he had written her for back pay he owed her.
I had to go in line. Then I signed the check at the back, my name, Sonia Deza. I cash the check, I'll get the money. $8,866 in my hands.
$8,866.
I walk to the car and I hold the money like this. I keep it like this. I said to myself, oh, this is my money. Oh, it's a lot of money, a big money.
Sonia says her boss made her cash that check and another one totaling more than $17,000. And then, she says, he made her hand the money over to him. All but $1,000.
I said, where's the money? She didn't say nothing. That's my money, I said.
Sonia has no savings, no retirement account, no safety net. And the story of why she cashed that check and gave the money back to her boss is a story of worker exploitation in a fast-growing industry. Reveal's Jennifer Gollin has been investigating this over the past year. And Jen, it was Sonia's job to take care of older people living in what's called a residential care home. Can you explain what that is?
So we all know that baby boomers are getting older. And while some people can continue to live on their own with their families, there's also a growing part of the population that needs a place to stay. That's where these residential care facilities come in. There are about 29,000 across the U.S., and many were once single-family homes that these owners have converted into assisted living for seniors. The ones we're talking about today, they typically have 6 to 10 residents.
So why is the care home industry growing so fast right now?
Well, there's a bunch of reasons. Wouldn't you want to be in a nice home versus an institution?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, the beauty of them is they're tucked into these small neighborhoods and they provide a home-like setting for seniors. They get to know the caregivers really well because these caregivers are often on duty around the clock. And these are often cheaper alternatives to nursing homes. But there's a dark side.
You mean like what happened to Sonia?
Exactly. Regulation is really lax, so these places just don't face much oversight. And that's led to rampant exploitation.
So how'd you find Sonia?
Well, I stumbled on Sonia's case because I was actually taking a look at her boss, Ramel Publico. Ramel and his wife, they own a chain of 4 care homes, and each one has caregivers, just like Sonia, and they've all got stories.
So how did she end up at the bank cashing a check for her boss?
Well, that's what I wanted to find out. So I went to visit her. Hi.
Okay.
Sonia?
Hi. Can we go now there?
I'd been talking to Sonia for months on the phone before I finally meet up with her in person at her sister's house. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. This is the part of the story where you normally hear a dog barking at the reporter as they walk in. But the dogs in this house, they're frozen. They're actually porcelain figures. No dog? She doesn't own. Oh, I love it. I was wanting to pet this one because he was real.
I don't know about this.
Sonia came to the U.S. in 2000 after her husband passed away. She was here to look after her dad, who was already here, and she really needed a job.
Send money to the Philippines to support them, to support my family.
In 2012, she ran into Ramel's sister.
And she said, oh, you want to apply to Rumel? Yes, yes. I have no job.
So Ramel hired her to be a live-in caregiver at one of his homes. She'd be one of two workers taking care of up to six residents.
My salary is only $50 in 24 hours.
That breaks down to $2 an hour. To put that in perspective, the federal minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. So by paying his employees what amounted to less than minimum wage, Ramel was breaking the law. On top of that, Sonia says if she wanted to get that one day off a week,
you need to find a reliever and you'd be the one to deduct your salary.
Basically, she'd have to find someone to fill in for her, and then she'd have to pay that person out of her own pocket.
Because I need a job, because I don't have a job, I accept it. I have no complaint, because I need to support my family in the Philippines. Two daughters and two grandkids, yeah.
I met another woman who worked for Ramel. Her name is Norma Lim.
My girlfriend referred me to Ramel Publico. That's where I met him.
Norma goes by Normita. She met Ramel and his wife, Glenda, in 2009. Normita says Ramel is a real charmer.
Well, he's a sweet man, believe me. The wife is nice. Glenda, they're very sweet. He knows how to flirt. He knows how to grease on you. That's Ramel. Yeah, you cannot get angry with him because he knows how to make you feel good. I had no complaint. The only problem is he tried to cheat us.
Before Normita met Ramel, she was a professional poker dealer. But then she had a stroke and was left partially paralyzed. She wasn't sure what to do. She was in her 60s, and she just didn't have a lot of options. Then she met Ramel, and she felt like her luck had changed. He offered her the same deal Sonia had, $50 a day.
I'm kind of disabled and an old lady. Patients love my cooking, and I had no problem in the beginning. I was glad that I had a job.
So you were effectively earning $2 an hour.
Oh, well, I did not even think about that. Yeah. That was very low.
Normita loved the residents. They had fun together. They'd eat meals as a group and watch soap operas together in the living room. The house had lots of space, 2,500 square feet. But with up to six residents at a time, the work was relentless. It was like being the housekeeper, cook, nurse, maid, all rolled up into one. And if you listen to Sonia...
I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
And Normita...
And prepare for the breakfast.
As they take us through their typical workday...
Feed the six patients.
Their experiences sound nearly identical.
At around 7 o'clock, they have to clean to the bathroom.
And then after that, I clean up the kitchen.
Clean the rooms. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 bedrooms there. You have to vacuum the floor.
Give them their medication.
You know, cleaning.
And then get ready for lunch. And then feed them. And then after that,
bring the patient to the, you know, the bathroom.
Clean the kitchen and then prepare for dinner.
The same routine.
I'm not really off because I stay in. You cannot sleep all night. I'm going to be calling, you know.
Help, help. You need to be patient to the patient.
All night long. Because
sometimes your patient is crazy. Sometimes they are fighting with you.
They make a mess in their bed.
We change the diaper. Yeah, every 2 hours.
Change them. Change the bed sheets. Clean them up.
Because we stay here, so we need to help our patient. This is our job.
And if one of the residents died, Normita says Ramel would cut her pay by $100 that month. Were you ever allowed to leave the facility?
No, we cannot leave. I have to ask permission. He said nobody will take over, so.
She didn't even get Christmas off. Instead, there'd be a big party right there at the care home.
Christmas and Thanksgiving, holidays, we work. I'm telling you, no day off. There's no day off.
So you had this great connection with so many of your patients, yet you were exhausted.
Well, for me, I didn't feel nothing. Job is job for me, you know. I just take what they give, the owner give, you know.
She was willing to put up with it and never reported Ramel because she didn't want to lose her job. Other employees stayed quiet because they were worried about their legal status in the U.S., Ramel is from the Philippines, like Normita and Sonia. He found them and other workers by tapping into a network of Filipino immigrants in the San Francisco Bay Area.
This is probably the best place to come if you want to get a job as a caregiver.
This is Valerie Francisco Manchavez. She's writing a book about the caregiving industry. She lives just south of San Francisco in Daly City.
This is Little Manila, Pinoy capital, the center for Filipino-American, you know, immigration coming in.
Valerie was born in the Philippines. She moved here when she was 9 and was actually partially raised in a care home. It's where her grandparents worked.
My sister, my brother, and my mother and I shared one room next to a kitchen. We, as children, helped them take care of the elderly folks in that care home. We would get up from 6 a.m. and have a schedule of domestic tasks all the way to 10 p.m.
She's now a sociology professor at San Francisco State University, specializing in labor and the Filipino diaspora. And she talks about a specific cultural dynamic in the Filipino employer-employee relationship that can too easily slide into exploitation. The literal translation is a debt of one's inner self.
This idea of utang ng loob is a cultural idea that you feel obligated and indebted to someone who gave you a kindness, who did you a favor by giving you a job.
This has to do with an almost feudal class system in the Philippines. Valerie says her grandparents had that relationship with their boss.
Because they thought that this person, who was another Filipino that owned the care home, was doing them this favor, this great kindness, to allow them to have a new life in the United States.
Valerie says there's another Filipino concept at play here. It's called kapwa.
Kapwa means a being togetherness. It is a way that Filipinos see their social relations with one another as about uplifting the collective good.
She says the circle of kapwa can extend to fellow co-workers, the residents they care for, the families back in the Philippines, and even their employer.
When Romel offers them to have a holiday at the care home, they continue to work. If you feel like your care home owner or the elderly folks are your family, you won't want to leave because you're already, quote unquote, spending time with your family, which is an obvious breach of work conditions.
I spoke to dozens of caregivers. They all told me how they were overworked and underpaid, but they rarely reported it to authorities. I asked Normita if she ever complained.
I did not complain. I'm not a complainer. I never complained. That's why they love me.
But someone must have complained. I found that out after calling federal regulators and reviewing reams of court documents from cases all over the country. I uncovered case after case of wage theft. That's when an employer doesn't pay for all the hours that someone's worked. Operators were breaking minimum wage, overtime, and record-keeping laws. Nationwide, I found 1,400 cases. About a third of them were in California. And one of them jumped out at me. Ramel and Glenda Publico. In 2013, they were ordered to pay more than $133,000 in back wages to 22 employees, including Sonia. That's how she ended up in that strip mall parking lot with that check.
You want me to show it to you, the paper that you need me to sign? I forgot my glasses.
Sonia still has the paperwork from the Department of Labor.
I will show it to you.
It said Ramel owed her more than $17,000 in back wages. The money was a surprise. She hadn't realized Ramel was breaking U.S. labor laws. And now he was asking her to sign the paper to prove to the government that he'd paid her the money.
I said, what is this? I don't know what is this. Why should I sign this? Before I sign this, I need a check. Where is the check?
Eventually, he gave her the check. And she agreed to sign that document for Ramel. But that moment of victory, it was fleeting. Because remember at the bank, Ramel made Sonia hand all the money back to him. What was going through your head at that moment?
Why is Ramel doing that to me? What do you think of me? I'm sad because that's my money. Why? We worked 24 hours in that care home. She's a liar. He's greedy. I think he's greedy.
Sonia tells me that later, She was mad at herself for giving the money back, but she felt like she didn't even have a choice.
What can I do? I'm afraid because I think he will fire me. If he will fire me, where can I go?
Rommel says he didn't do anything wrong, that he treated his workers fairly. But three other employees say that Rommel also made them return back wages. As for Normita, she never even got a check. She and Sonia keep working for him, hoping things will get better. And they do, a little. He gives them a raise, a small one, and Sonia gets Sundays off without having to pay her replacement. But not much else changes, for now.
Federal regulators already came down on Rommel, but what he doesn't realize is that other investigators will soon be taking a closer look.
So on the day that we do the search warrant, we knock on the door.
At this point, you might be wondering, how does anyone even get into this business? It turns out there's a whole industry out there to help people get started.
I do not know of another business model like that. That is why we call America's untapped business opportunity.
That's next on Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.